And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Much to discuss this week. Michael, I want to begin with you. Less than 3 weeks to go before primary day. Hard to believe it's almost here. And of course, there have been so many debates these last few days. We had the big debate back on Monday, another big gubernatorial debate on Wednesday night. How much do these debates move the needle, especially when you look at those crowded fields in the Republican Party for Senate and for governor?
Well, I'm not sure they move the needle a whole ton, but they are instructive to the voters in terms of seeing kind of the personalities of the different candidates and how they respond to each other in those kinds of settings. And because beyond that, most of the people's experience with the candidates is just what they see in TV commercials or the mailers that come in. But there's a lot of contentiousness in the Democratic Senate debate, certainly this week, with Fetterman and Conor Lamb, the two leaders in that race, going after each other. And there was some of that in a Senate debate with the Republicans as well, some contentiousness as well, especially between Oz and McCormick, and then also Kathy Barnett and Carla Sands going after each other. But again, I don't think it moves the needle a lot in terms of where the voters will end up.
All right, we'll talk more politics in a minute, but first let's go to Albany. Jason, of course, we're all watching what's going to happen with the June primary. Will it be delayed or not? That all depends on what the state's highest court decides when it comes to these congressional districts. What's the latest on this front?
Well, you know, I think we're waiting to see how this is going to be play out in the long term. The judges of the high court seem to be looking at what the final process should be. We may not have a June 28th primary. They could put that off later, or we may still, where the judges say we do it this year, and then we do it all over again next year. So the jury is out as the judges decide.
So we don't want to get too lost in the weeds on this, but the law says that the district has to be contiguous, and apparently one of the Staten Island, I believe, districts was not. Is that correct?
Yeah, they've really, it appears at least, to be very gerrymandered. And so they have crafted this district to favor Democratic candidates. And I'd suggest there are others across the state as well. And, you know, judges now at multiple levels of the court have found this unconstitutional. And now the Court of Appeals, New York's highest court, will weigh in as well.
All right. And again, this is just for those congressional districts. The state and the local districts, they're all set, right?
Well, we don't know. There was some indecision at the lower level, and so the high court has within its prerogative to do pretty much anything it wants now.
All right. Well, hey, everybody's talking in Pennsylvania about the Trump factor in the primary elections coming up May 17th. How much will he factor in this? Of course, he's hosting a big rally for Dr. Oz near Pittsburgh next month. I've asked you this before, Michael, and I'll do it again. Do Republicans in state primary elections who don't hitch their wagon to Trump do so at their own peril?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag, quite honestly. I mean, going into the primary election on May 17th, there are a lot who are seeking the Trump endorsement because they think it'll give them a boost in the primary election. The question is, though, then what does it do in the general election when there's, you know, obviously the larger electorate that's going to be making that decision and whether those will be used in ads. But during this primary season, there are a number of them in the governor's race that are looking for that endorsement and hoping that he'll be the difference in that case. What's interesting in social media with the Dr. Oz endorsement that Trump had is there's a lot of negatives from those who like Donald Trump but think he picked the wrong person in that. Well, it remains to be seen what happens, though, on Election Day.
Yeah, I heard Dave McCormick say Trump's popular in Pennsylvania, but not so much for Dr. Oz. That's going to be an interesting race. Really interesting to see how that one goes May 17th. There was a poll out, Jason, this week from Siena College. Has Governor Hochul underwater right now in New York? 57% disapproval rate. Why are New Yorkers not buying what she's selling right now?
Well, I think a number of things are going on. One, the Democratic Party has a negative brand across the country right now under President Joe Biden's administration. There's concern there. But even at the state level, you know, we're just seeing failure to really make the real needed changes to bail reform, cashless bail reform. And so they're with this crime wave that's coming across the state. People are recognizing that crime is the biggest issue here in New York, and they're reacting accordingly to those in charge.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as a follow-up. They did pull what was on the minds of voters there. You said it. Crime was number one, the economy after that. Do you think she's made enough of a big deal of those issues, whether it's the budget or the session and what's coming up in the closing days here till June?
Well, no, honestly, I don't think she has. And even the gas tax will not kick in until June 1st. And when it does, it's really going to be pennies on the dollar. It's just not going to have as big an impact as I think the governor is going to need to overcome those underwater numbers.
Well, Michael, your church, and we'll give the website at the end so folks can go and learn more about this, but your church ambassador network, which you partner with there in Pennsylvania, has an Honoring God election toolkit for those who are undecided about how to vote in the May primary. What is that exactly?
Well, first of all, it's an encouragement. It's materials for churches and pastors about what churches can and can't do at election time, as well as then encouragement to use the talent, to use the right to vote, to honor God, to simply be involved in the process. Because we've been given this right, this opportunity to express our voice, we should be using that and be responsible as responsible citizens to engage in that way. But then it also has information about the Pennsylvania Family Voters Guide, which is a nonpartisan legal for distribution in churches, as well as the online voters guide that we have that enables them to sort of encourage the members of their congregation to understand where the candidates stand and then to use their vote wisely.
And again, you're not endorsing any candidates here. You're not telling who to vote for. You're just giving information about where the candidates stand on the issues, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jason, the one of the gubernatorial candidates is Rob Astorino, no stranger to this race. He says those ghost flights filled with illegal immigrants that are coming into Westchester County are coming on an almost daily basis. Is he just campaigning, or is there something to this?
Well, I don't doubt there's some campaign aspect as to why candidate Astorino is raising this issue now, but I think that doesn't negate the fact that there is some truth to this. You know, we're seeing these kind of ghost flights that seem to be occurring in other airports, other places around the country as well, not just New York. It really is a question. As if Democrats are happy with their current immigration policies, why are these flights coming in under cover of darkness rather than really being open to the community, where those that are concerned, including even Christian churches, could be helping genuine refugees.
Yeah. And then finally, guys, want to talk about a couple hot button issues nationwide. And of course, Michael, none bigger than the Supreme Court case involving Coach Joe Kennedy out at Bremerton High School near Seattle. That case comes to a head in June. First of all, tell us what this is all about. And do you think the court is going to side with the coach here?
What's interesting, I met Joe Kennedy Coach Kennedy at our 2018 Friends of the Family banquet in Hershey, and he's a wonderful man, and he was fired for praying at the 50-yard line by himself. Some students from both teams at the end of football games decided to join him, but he didn't coerce them. He didn't ask them to do that. They did that of their own volition, and for that, he was fired. And what's notable, first of all, is that it's been 4 years already since we had him at our banquet before he even gets his case before the United States Supreme Court. We're hopeful that we'll have a victory. Our attorneys from our Independence Law Center listen to the oral arguments and believe that justice is going to prevail and that his religious liberty will be reinstated and that he will get his job back.
Now, of course, that case has so much ramifications nationwide, so pay attention to that, folks. Again, a ruling in June. And then, how can we forget Elon Musk? He's got his hands in just about everything these days, Jason, and now he's the new owner of Twitter. It doesn't take effect officially till the fall, but your thoughts on this and this whole idea of, you know, restoring freedom of speech on social media?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that there's been a certain cancel culture aspect to social media and to big tech in general. You know, we're certainly seeing this in regard to organization and what we would say is shadow banning. I just don't feel that our reach is going nearly as far as it used to, and I have to think it's due to our values. Yeah. And so I appreciate the fact that Elon Musk is getting involved, and I think it will bode well for many of us in the conservative movement moving forward.
Yeah, how much of an impact will that have on the fall election?
You know, it's hard to say, but I think we can recognize that there has been some of that shadow banning that has occurred for conservative candidates in the past, and just opening up that spigot may actually help more candidates get their messages out.
All right, and that'll have to be the last word this week, just like that. Our 10 minutes are up, the fastest 10 minutes in radio, we like to say around here. If you'd like to learn more about that Honoring God election toolkit that you have in Pennsylvania, Michael, where can folks find you?
PAFamily.org.
Stay informed all that's happening in New York from now through the end of the session in early June. Lots to pay attention to there in Albany, Jason. What's your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.